said, everyone deserves their 15 minutes of fame. We are trying to play a small role to help students get their few moments of fame and empower them to feel that they too can make a difference.
100 years back, Modesto was one of those areas of the United States which did not have high educational achievement. 100 years later, we still have that situation.
Welcome to Forward with NACI, Inspiring Entrepreneurial Action, a podcast that shares the stories of everyday entrepreneurs, entrepreneurial leaders, and the communities that support us. We hope that this diverse collection of stories brings you inspiration, inspires you to take action, and ignites entrepreneurship in your community as we make our way forward together.
Welcome to this episode of Forward with NACI. We are really excited today to be joined by two entrepreneurs who work in higher education and are doing work globally. The title of today's program is Solve CC. It's not hard to offer what students are asking for. So it is my pleasure to welcome our two guests today. The first one is Mojda Eskandari. And our second guest is the president of Modesto Junior College, Shantanu Bandopadhyay. So welcome to our program today. Thank you for being with us. And Mojda, I would love to start with you. I know you have a very interesting life story, just a lot of courage and a lot of interesting things that you've done. And I know you've spoken with us before about some of the challenges in your life. So let's begin there. Talk with us a little bit about your journey and some of the challenges that shaped who you are today.
Thank you, Becky, for having us. I was born and raised in a privileged environment, but I lost all my privileges without being prepared for it. I was 20 when the revolution started in Iran, universities closed, and the country basically shut down. Before that, I had my family, my friends, my support system. I was studying, traveling, practicing different sports, living a nice life. It really felt like I was in charge of my destiny. Then the revolution hit, followed by the war. And in a blink of an eye, everything changed. And I tried to relocate to a different country. Back then, the only country I was able to get a visa for was France. So I ended up in France without knowing anyone, without speaking one word of French, and without being able to get my mechanical engineering degree from the University of Tehran. Once in France, I had to start from scratch. It felt like I lost everything. I had no idea how to start all over again. But I knew that not succeeding was not an option. When I realized that, what really helped me in the past was a support system, the encouragement and the sense of belonging I felt all my life, I knew what I needed to do. I needed to belong to a new community. So that's what I did. I started to learn the language and focused on building a support system. And that's what helped me to get back on my feet. I finished my studies, built a successful career in engineering and business, and eventually became a senior executive at Oracle. When I look back at that period and what helped me to become successful, I recognize that what was really important, even more important than any degree, was having confidence in myself in tackling problems and the acknowledgement of my surroundings that I had the permission to do so. In fact, approaching personal challenges and solving them is a great booster in life. And it comes in part from the support and the community that the community can give you. While some have this support through family members and their surroundings, most first-generation students and the ones from underserved population don't have access to it. I think this observation was the motivation behind my willingness to find a way to extend the same opportunity to the ones who need it most. One of the ways I started on this was organizing TEDx events in various countries to inspire about ideas worth spreading and to engage the younger generation to identify problems worth solving. The results were mind-blowing. We had thousands of attendees in person and millions of views online. A few years later, I founded Innovators OC to help social ventures focusing on art and education to become self-sustained. Then in 2021, through the Chancellor's Office, I had the opportunity to get involved in the Invention Education Initiative with the California Community Colleges. And Becky, this is when you and I first met.
I remember that. That was really a wonderful meeting. And I had just gotten to know you and your work. And through our conversation, you shared with me and actually with our extensive network about an entrepreneurial venture that you're working on right now. So do you want to share with us about that?
You know, through that involvement, I learned a bit more about the current education system and realized the larger scale need to help students develop an entrepreneurial mindset, including essential skills such as creative and critical thinking, constructive inquiry, collaboration, problem solving, and effective networking. And that's how SolveCC was born. SolveCC is an independent agency built on the premise that access to innovation should be equally distributed. We offer a playground with direct access to entrepreneurial mindset and problem-solving opportunities to help students develop these skills. There is nothing really more satisfying than incentivizing the young generations to feel empowered. Let me just add one more thing, Becky. Since the first day we met, I knew we were going to collaborate one day. Even more so, I had no idea when and how. It is very important to find those partners who share your values. I belong to the TED community for years now, and after attending your conference last April, I knew that I have found a new community, the NACI community. You really have the art of bringing purpose-driven individuals together, and I'm just grateful to be a part of that community today.
Well, we are very grateful that you both are part of the NACI network. What you were speaking about, values alignment, is very important to us. And the work that you've done that I am so much in awe of, some of the development work on the TEDx talks, is really what shapes a lot of people, and it helps us shift our mindset. And I know that that was one of the things with SolveCC that was very important to you. So when we think about community colleges, we think a lot about access. And I know that you have put a lot of thought into how people and colleges and communities can access SolveCC. So why don't you describe that to us? As I understand it, you can access it from your phone.
You know, today, automation and technology makes learning essential skills even more important. And while education is principle available to many, learning these skills is left to entrepreneurial experiences. And these experiences are not accessible to community college students. What motivated me was to offer a sandbox where students can define and solve real-world problems in their community. It's a collaborative platform where students are incentivized to create teams. These teams can include family members, faculty members, problem owners in the community to identify problems and design and eventually implement solutions to address these problems in a peer-to-peer process. If we believe that talent is potentially everywhere and the main issue is lack of access and support, then we need to address that. And this is exactly what SolveCC is focusing on. They can, of course, students can access it from anywhere online, including their smartphone. You know, as Andy Warhol said, everyone deserves their 15 minutes of fame. We are trying to play a small role to help students get their few moments of fame and empower them to feel that they too can make a difference.
That's fantastic. And it really is a lot of the invention mindset that we worked on together, and entrepreneurial mindset is what they develop through this experience. So that is wonderful. How can people get in touch with you, or how can they find out about this online?
The SolveCC platform is open to everyone. although our goal is really to focus as much as possible on the underserved population, we have created the platform in a way that any organization, especially the minority serving institution, could easily participate. High schools are welcome to participate. You can learn more about us via solvecc.org. As you can see on our site, you can customize the platform for partnering colleges. And you can also contact me directly via moshe@solvecc.org. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
That's fantastic. And I know that Modesto Junior College is one of the early adopters of the platform. And I'm very excited to also have a chance to speak with our second guest, which I'm going to call you Dr. B, because you have a very long name and you have just a wonderful, wonderful way about you and just an excitement for the students. So let's talk a little bit about your background. Tell us, you know, about you and what led you to becoming a community college president and to engaging with Mojda and SolveCC.
Thank you, Becky. Thank you for inviting me. And I'm glad to be here and talk about SolveCC, MJC. But before that, my background a little bit. I started my career in the industry. I was in advertising industry. I was an executive working on consumer behavior and research. That's how I paid my bills for the first half of my career before immigrating to US about 22 years back now, almost to the day. When I came here, my objective was I wanted to get back into the advertising world after going through my MBA. I did that, and 3 weeks into my graduation, the event that changed the world happened. I'm referring to 9/11. At the time, getting into an industry or getting a job with a last name like Bandyopadhyay, that was quite a challenge. So I was one of those people, although my first half of the career in India, I was reasonably privileged. But here, I suddenly find myself in a situation where I'm the invisible person in the room, pretty much similar to what many of our students find themselves. Reasonably difficult time. And one of my colleagues said, why don't you try working in higher education? They are less judgmental. So I applied my alma mater, knowing nothing about higher education at that point of time. I knew statistical analysis, but I did not have any domain knowledge. I started working at Ohio University as a budget and policy analyst, started learning about higher education, and started liking it. From a competitive industry, I came into a collaborative industry where people are willing to collaborate, people are willing to share knowledge and help our students. One thing to another, I started doing my PhD in higher education, completed that while I was working, moved into Zane State College, which is one of the most economically challenged area in Appalachian, Ohio, in the United States. Yet, they had a very high graduation rate, almost twice the national average. And one of the mystery that we had was, we always approached our students with a personal touch. That was our whole motto, that anybody who comes in, we don't judge whether they are ready for college. We wanted to say, are we ready for you? How do we take you into the fold? How do we give you the confidence that you deserve? We were a part of Achieving the Dream initiative since 2005. Our work also led us to a Gates Foundation scholarship, where we kept on our experimentation with the students who are coming to us and see them being successful. After about 2009, I came to California. I was in Cypress College in Southern California for some time as the director of research and planning. Went on to become the executive vice president, taking care of both instruction and student services. And now in Modesto, when I came here, I came to Columbia first. It is the second college in Yosemite Community College District. And I'm in Modesto for the last year and a half. Large campus in Central Valley. We celebrated our 100 years. 100 years back, Modesto was one of those areas of the United States which did not have high educational achievement. 100 years later, we still have that situation. We are in the middle of the Ag Belt. There are a lot of manual or physical ability-oriented jobs available. But as the economy moves towards the skill-based jobs, what is going to happen to this economy? What is going to happen to our students? That's what a big concern out there. And that brings me, when we had the opportunity of connecting with SolveCC and Mojda, and someone from the industry talking about the need to connect students with real-life problem solving, that sounded so appropriate and timely to me.
Yeah, that's, I mean, there's so much there that you said that is of such great interest to me and to our listeners, I'm certain, around the world. I want to back up for a second. You said your approach was, as a college leader, are we ready for you? And I think that just speaks to a lot of the work that both of you do, which is really leaning into empathy and trying to understand the experience of the students. And if I understand it correctly, I think Solve CC really does that, of really getting students to kind of grapple with a real life challenge and trying to figure out how to solve it, if you will. So share with us a little bit about what your students have done. So I understand the desire of Modesto Junior College, which truly is one of the oldest community colleges in the country, which is exciting, 100 years old. But tell us more about how your students have benefited from Solve CC.
So, you know, we were one of the proponents of invention and inclusive innovation programs in the California Community College system. But that was not scalable in the sense only a few limited number of students were eligible to go for it. So when we partnered with Solve CC, we freed up time of 6 of our faculty members who could take under their guidance the students. So it required some initial investment from our side and a belief from our side that, yes, this is what is the need of our students today. It is not those one of the curriculum that they learn within the classroom. What these professors did was they took the students under their wings and they told them, go out to the community, identify a real life challenge that is existing there. And we also set up an award for them that once you identify a challenge and define it appropriately, the best challenge would get an award. So it is not like you just go there and say, I'm just trying to see how I can expand my customer base. Yes, that's a challenge for a business, but that is not that essential core of the challenge that we are trying to address. And when what we saw when the students brought back the challenges or some of the problem statements in the community, I was blown off. I'm truly, when I looked at those, I'm like, really? Many times we hear the community college students, they are the second chance institution. They would not be that innovative. But the kind of issues that they addressed in those challenges and identified them, from global warming to water scarcity and how to handle those, what is the future of technology in the impact on people's lives and jobs, those are deep and profound topics. And it is not that they were just parroting something that they have heard over a TV or a commercial show. They could really localize that. They could bring it down to our ag communities. Because, you know, when we talk in Central Valley, global warming and water scarcity takes a completely different meaning. Mm-hmm. Because water here is a very important factor, because unless water flows, food does not grow. So they have taken that challenge to a next level and really customized it to our communities, to our businesses, to our production. So it is not a global phenomena happening somewhere. Yes, it's important at the global level, but what's its impact at the local level?
Yeah, and you probably see your students light up when they do that. I remember several years ago, I was at Harris Stowe University in St. Louis, and St. Louis has one of the highest rates of gun violence in the country. And seeing some middle school young men, which our whole desire was really to get them to see themselves in a higher education program, whether university or college, but you presented them with a challenge of how do you stop gun violence? Then all of a sudden, instead of being fearful of being a victim, they're employing invention, idea mindset, entrepreneurial mindset, and all of a sudden they're empowered to say, how can we change this? And I think when I understand what you're doing on your campus and really what you are hoping to scale through Solve CC, it could have a profound impact really in communities everywhere. And that's where NACE, the National Association for Community College Entrepreneurship, and Solve CC align, because that's our desire, is to lean into scalable projects where it's inclusive, because anyone who wants to come on board can join, and it's easy for students to adapt. So that kind of brings me, when you talk about expansion and scaling, how do you see this program evolving and serving even more students?
Excellent question. And you know, anything to survive in the academic world, we need to have a scalable adoption at the classroom level. unless it's a part of a classroom, then it is not going to be expanded tremendously. There are many, many small programs that we have which treats 25 students or 30 students or 50 students. We are a 20,000 student campus. If 25 students are offered this opportunity every year, it really does not scale up ever. Now, how do we integrate this in the classroom without making it the permanent part of the curriculum where the innovation goes away? That is our classic challenge. That the moment you put it in the curriculum, then you're confining invention. You're just saying, I would teach you what it is, whereas I want you to think what it is. So what we are looking at this time is we are going to strengthen our partnership, that is the President's Office at MJC and Academic Senate, whereas Academic Senate would encourage all the faculty members, irrespective of your discipline, if your students want an extra credit, go start a project, identify a project and solve it with Solve CC. Because in every student that we teach, there are certain core body of knowledge that we want to teach them. One is problem-solving skills. Irrespective of whether you are learning math, you are learning English, you are learning history, when you go to work, you need to have the problem-solving skills. That's the core of any learning process. And by encouraging students to go for that extra credit from any class that they are, whether they're learning philosophy or they're learning woodcrafting, they learn to solve a real-life problem. That's what we're looking at in this academic year, that we would partner with Academic Senate and President's Office and open this up, not to the six faculty members who are leading this one, but to any faculty member who has a student who wants to learn, who wants to really get a touch, feel of the real life working world while they're in college. They can do so. They're incentive. They learn the skill. It's resumable. And also they have an opportunity of winning a cash award. Plus they get the guidance. Extra credit always helps. So that's what we are approaching it, that how do we make it an integral part of the institution without putting it in the curriculum?
Yeah, and that's, you know, that co-curricular focus and cross-disciplinary approach really, I think, leans into scaling. It also connects to the Entrepreneurial College of the Future program that NACI is launching, where we look at certain pillars and really everything you said aligns with them, workforce development, fundraising, student success. And the last one is silo busting. And what you just relayed in terms of the president's partnership with the Senate and everybody's invited, for those who might not be involved with higher ed, that's very revolutionary because it's not really how academic institutions function, right? You know, this is your place, you stay over here, and, you know, and sometimes never the twain will meet. So I'm very excited to see where this is headed. And I know as our conversation kind of winds to a close, I want to go back to you, Mojda, as you're listening to this, and I can see you on my screen, you have a big smile on your face. These new ventures are always a lot more work and take longer than we think. But would you like to share with us sort of a closing thought of maybe what you're very excited about in terms of Solve CC and how you see this impacting the future for everyone?
Shantanu said it all. I honestly couldn't have dreamt of a better partner than MJC. His vision, the team that got engaged, Chad Redwing, an inspiring change maker, the entire team that they put together, it is not something that just came from the president's office, associated student, academic senate. I mean, I was amazed by that. The other thing is we started to work with MJC back in February. We had 30 teams apply. And once these students try to address, to really implement the solutions, we're going to offer them speaker coaching. They're going to offer them mentorship, help them to get the seed funding they need to make their ideas become a reality. And I'm delighted to announce that the second college, we started onboarding Barstow Community College last month.
Oh.
And the great thing is both Shantanu and Dr. Eva Bagg, they are ready to collaborate, to share their experiences with any college. You talked, Becky, about silo busting. If this is the name of the game, why not start with the leadership at the community colleges? And this is exactly what they are going to do.
That is fantastic. And Dr. Eva Bagg is one of the presidents that joined us in Charlotte, North Carolina, just a couple of weeks ago for an ideation workshop. And she was just, I mean, such a wonderful contributor to that. And I learned about her background as an anthropologist. So it might surprise people to know that we have all of these community college presidents and foundation leaders, as you are, Moshe, that have just rich backgrounds. And the recipients and the beneficiaries of those, of course, are students, but communities everywhere. So I truly hope that people will take the opportunity to learn more about SolveCC. Think about how in your community college may want to get more involved in that. And we look forward to, you know, accompanying you on this journey and celebrating the scale and expansion of this great program. So thank you for both for joining us today. And thanks to all of our listeners around the world for being with us.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you will continue to explore the many ways to define entrepreneurship with NACI as we celebrate opportunity, failing forward, and success, learning from one another along the way. Subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform and follow at NACI on social media and learn more about us at NACI.com/podcast. Stay tuned for a new episode each week. We look forward to making our way forward together with you. Have you heard the exciting news? NACI recently released a new publication titled The NACI Playbook, Volume 1, all about how entrepreneurial mindset sets the new standard for success in communities and colleges. The NACI Playbook digs into entrepreneurial mindset and how practicing leadership with this framework creates an agile culture with space to innovate, co-create, fail forward, and accelerate growth. Entrepreneurship and entrepreneurial leadership require us to lean in, anticipate and recognize trends, manage change, be resilient, take risks, reflect, and rest in the knowledge that anything is possible. Learn from our innovative, insightful, generous network who navigates both challenges and opportunities entrepreneurially as we share what we've learned and how you might apply their experience to your work. We hope you'll be as inspired as we were. Learn more at www.NACIPlaybook.com.